So we have completed Hebrews chapter 6. Oh my goodness, wasn't that awesome? Everybody say, that's elementary, my dear. That's what it was. We went through elementary school in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 is elementary school for the Christian. And you need to know your elementary principles. For those who have not been here, this is your first time. I do want to bring an understanding for you. You can go back and listen to every single one of the Rock Solid Faith. They're actually being taped right now. They're going online. We're live stream. I know there are folks from Massachusetts. I know there are folks from down south that are watching this evening and folks local. And so it's important for us to recognize that you can go back and you can, they're called the archives. Go to the online campus, go to archives, and the Rock Solid Faith classes are on there. I would challenge you to go back to where we started, chapter 9. Chapter 9 is the elementary principles of the Word of God. And that verse is found in Hebrews chapter 6. Why don't you turn there with me real quick? We'll just read that verse. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, it says this, "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, but of the doctrine of baptisms." How many baptisms?
Three.
How many baptisms?
Three.
What are they?
Water.
Holy Spirit, fire, and water. Very good. We also know that the laying on of hands. We talked about the anointing. The anointing is tangible, and the anointing is releasable. What is the anointing? The perpetual propulsion of the power of God. It is the power of heaven, the power of God being released in our lives. We also talked about the resurrection of the dead. How many resurrections are there? Very good. You have Christ being the first of the resurrection. You have the rapture of the church. You have what? The Old Testament saints. And then the what? The white throne judgment. Very good. And so then we have two judgments. What are the judgments? The Bema seat for the Christian. Everybody say, if I'm born again, I'll never be judged for my sins because they've been washed away. But I'll be judged for my words and my works. Very good. That's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15, that every believer, every Christian, will be judged for their words and their works. But those that are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, those who have not accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, their judgment is called the White Throne Judgment. And that's found in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. And they're talking about, the Bible says that hell and death will give up their dead, and all people, both small and large, old and young, every individual will stand before God, and if their names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then they'll be cast into the lake of fire. And that is the culmination or the climax, as we know it, according to history with mankind, except for the factor of there'll be a new heaven and a new earth created in the last chapter of the book of Revelation that we will all enter into, and history as we know it will be completed. So tonight we want to start a whole new topic. This is an awesome topic. It's one that so many people do not understand. When you talk about prayer, most people say, well, I prayed. The issue is that prayer has great diversity. Everybody say, I got a toolbox. You need to understand that. Now, one time I was standing in church and I was talking about, you know, everybody's gifts, you know. And I said to somebody, I says, can you build a house with a spoon? And he was an engineer. I shouldn't have asked him. And he says, I can build a house with a spoon, Pastor. And I said, yeah, I shouldn't have asked you. But the fact is that you don't use a spoon to build a house. You use a hammer to pound a nail. Listen, if you don't know that, we're all in trouble. We just need to seek God. Now we have nail guns. That's very true. So every one of us needs to recognize that prayer is not one tool. There's many tools in your toolbox called prayer. The problem is that most believers don't know, have never been taught the different types of prayer. So they just pray one blanket prayer. I call it shotgun praying and hoping you're going to hit something. And then they wonder why their prayers aren't answered and they get frustrated with God. So in this chapter, we start talking about the different types of prayer, how to pray properly about certain situations. And it's very easily spelled out in the scripture, just most believers have never been taught it. So tonight, we're going to start breaking down the different types of prayer. But the first thing I want to talk about is what prayer is not. Ready? Prayer is not pompous. These big words, oh dear God in heaven, I beseech thee before the throne of the Lord God omnipotent. Oh Father, I just thank thee that thou art the Holy One of Israel, and that thou hast expanded the dimensions of the eternals, and that as we beseech thee this day, that all things shall be separated between the firmament, and that tonight, oh God, thy glory shall be felt in all the earth. I don't know about you. I'm not even sure I know what I said. It did sound good though, doesn't it? But you see, that's what many people do, is they look at somebody who can praise like that as really spiritual. Prayer's not pompous. Jesus doesn't need big words. He made them. You know, prayer is easy and prayer is simple. So the number one thing that prayer is not pompous. The next thing that prayer is not competitive. Now, I'm a pastor, and so I go to pastor's meetings. And pastor's meetings are really unique because, you know, we'll open in prayer, and this guy will open in prayer, and he'll pray a really good, pompous prayer. And then the next guy in line, he has to top it. So his prayer gets better, or gooderer. That's my word, by the way. And then the next guy, he tries to top the last two guys. And it becomes a competition. Prayer is not pompous, and prayer is not competition. Prayer is not chanting. I've seen a lot of people chant, oh, God, 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 oh, God. Prayer is not chanting. And you know, folks that have come from a more liturgical background, you know, they do chanting, and they don't call it chanting. They call it different types of prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You can pray that prayer, which is a biblical prayer all you want, but if there is no heart behind it or purpose behind it, it's nothing more than chanting words. Yelling, God's not deaf. Some people think if they pray loud, real loud, and there's nothing. Listen, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with praying loud. I'm a loud person. I pray loud. But if you think that your prayer being loud is going to get God's attention, he listens to your heart. Your mouth can say one thing, but it can be far from God. You can be thinking about the roast. This is all about not being, you don't have to be loud, you don't have to be pompous, you don't have to be repetitive, you don't have to be competitive, and God's not spooky. You know, a lot of Christians get really spooky. Oh, I see six angels standing in the corner. Oh, one is saying something to me. Man, some Christians are just downright spooky. And people look at them and say, wow, they're spiritual. No, they're messed up. They're just messed stinking up, man. They got issues. You know, they try to act real super spiritual and, I've seen them go into the bird motion. You know, people try to act real spiritual in their prayer, but God's not spooky either. You know, this is what prayer is not. You don't have to be spooky. You don't have to be competitive. You don't have to use big words. And you know, I find a lot of people won't pray because, well, I don't know how. Well, I mean, I can't pray as good as you. Well, I feel ignorant because, you know, I can't pray like you. God didn't call you to pray like anybody else. He called you to be you. And when you understand the tools in the toolbox, what is amazing about the tools in the toolbox is when you start opening them up and you realize that with every specific need, God has a special prayer, a special type of prayer that you can pray that will move the mountain and bring the answer down. Listen, why do we pray? We pray because we want an answer. Amen. Yeah? Amen. Well, no, I just pray to be heard. Well, I just pray, but nothing happens. It just kind of hits the ceiling. Yeah, and I'm talking like serious. You know, every one of us pray for the same reason. We all want God to hear us, and we all want an answer. Amen. Well, I'm praying, but I don't really know or care if God hears me. That's stupid. Why would you pray? You know, we pray because we want an answer for something. And so we need to talk about the different types of prayer and how God recognizes prayer. You know, there have been people that have used those big pompous words and they've gone really big. Now listen, I'm not knocking anybody who prays in King James Version. God just does, he doesn't pray in King James Version. Oh, thou King of Almighty God, and I prayest that thou mightest move in thy behalfest. But God doesn't speak King James, by the way. If you want to say Jesus spoke anything, it was Greek and Aramaic. But he never spoke King James. And, you know, I just don't need to say this, just to offend somebody, I'm sure. Some people say, well, you know, if you don't read the King James Version, you're not reading the true Bible. I'm sorry. The King James Version that every one of us have is 1611. It's the 11th edition, by the way. Because if you actually read the true King James Version, you can't understand it. Because they've brought the words to the era that we live in. Personally, myself, I use the New King James Version majority of the time, which takes out the these, thuses, and thous, but keeps with the same principle. That was free. That had nothing to do with the lesson. What is God looking for when we pray? He's looking for your heart. It really is. It's sincerity and understanding what you're doing. Honestly, these people that stand, and Jesus rebuked the Pharisees, if you remember. He said, you stand by the corner, all dressed in your robes, all dressed in your priestly garments, trying to get all these people's attention. You're fasting and you're doing all this to get people's attention. He says, God don't even recognize you. So what's God after? He just wants you to talk to him from your heart. Listen, when we're done with this, you're going to recognize something very serious. Every one of you are amazing. Oh, thank you so much, young man. Can I have a hug? Every one of you are amazing prayer warriors. Turn to somebody and say, I can pray down heaven. It's that simple. You have the capability. Tonight you're going to see that prayer is so easy. You don't even have to be good at it. You just got to know what you're doing with it. So the number one priority with God is that it come from your heart. Sincerity is everything with the Lord. You know, I've watched people that are fresh in the gospel who simply said Jesus because they needed him. They didn't have any other word besides Jesus. And the Bible says those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not just salvation saved, but your life saved. Everything. God will show up. When you're driving down the road, you get in an accident, you don't have time to say, I beseech thee, Father. Jesus! Help me! Help me is as deep of a prayer as all the big words if it comes from your heart. God just simply wants you to talk with him. I want to remind you why Jesus came to this planet. Jesus did not come to this planet to start a religion. Jesus came to this planet for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world but that the world through him might be saved. Saved from what? Saved from what Adam and Eve screwed up. What did Adam and Eve screw up? They screwed up the relationship that the Father God had in the garden. Garden of Eden. What was that? God the Father would walk every single day talking with Adam and Eve, sharing with Adam and Eve, loving on Adam and Eve. Man, there's no greater love than this than a man lay down his life for his friend. And Jesus said, I love you so much that I want to restore what was lost in the garden. And that's why Christ came. No other reason. Not to start a religion, not to start a movement. Jesus came to restore you and I to a relationship back with our Father. And I'm here to tell you tonight, that is what moves God, is relationship. When relationship is not an integral part of our prayer life, then it means absolutely nothing. Nothing. So it's imperative that we get down to the root of the matter, that it's relationship. Do you know God? There are a lot of people who know a lot about God, but do you know God? Do you know him? Do you have a relationship with him? You know, the greatest compliment I think that's in the Bible is Abraham was a friend of God. Think about that. I mean, what greater compliment can you get? God saying, you're my friend. I love what Jesus said. He said, I no longer call you servants, John chapter 15, but I call you friends. This is relationship. And when we get down to the principles of prayer, yes, there's different tools in the toolbox to get certain things accomplished. But it all comes back to the same principle. The reason that God hears you is because of relationship. Period. The reason God will move on your behalf is because of a relationship. Period. We can't make God do anything. But God, out of relationship, loves to do everything. Man, I don't know if you realize how spoiled you and I really are. We have a great dad. I mean, an amazing father. I so love being a grandfather. Honestly, it is so much fun. I mean, everything I'm not supposed to give her, I do. I make sure if there's any sweets in the room, Grampy gives her sweets. Actually, my name's not Grampy, my name is Bampy, because she can't say Grampy. So, Bampy, Harley motorcycle. Bampy, Harley motorcycle. Yes, let's go, child. I bring her out, set her on the motorcycle, spark it up. I go, vroom, vroom. She goes, vroom, vroom. I just love spoiling my granddaughter. I just love the fact that she lights up and then she cries when I leave. I like when she cries when I leave. But our Father in heaven loves us so much more than that. Because let's be honest. It's the best dance I got. So our Father loves us so much. The Bible says if you earthly parents know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more your heavenly Father wants to give good gifts to you. You know, there's an old song. This is bothering me, so let me get it out of my pocket. There's an old song, page 254 in the blue hymn book. It's called Jesus Hold My Hand. Jesus, hold my hand, I need thee every hour. Through this pilgrim land, protect me by thy power. Hear my feeble plea, O Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. And it's a lie from hell. That song is so unbiblical, and I was raised on that song. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Even as a kid, I was taught that God doesn't always hear your prayers, that God won't always answer your prayer. Oh, I've heard it. Sometimes God says yes. Sometimes God says no. And then sometimes God says maybe. Show me that. That's good religion, but it's bad Bible.
Yes, it is.
See, we have these misconceptions about prayer because we've been taught in religion. But God isn't religious. And he said, I'm your Father. And I've got great things for you. And I want to teach you how to pray. Listen, the disciples, teach us how to pray. Prayer moves God. In fact, God made it this way. The only way to bring heaven to earth is through prayer. Period. So when the church doesn't pray, heaven is not conveyed. When we don't pray, God doesn't move in our lives. You ready? The lowest attended service in any church in America is the prayer meeting. It is true. We do prayer every single Monday through Thursday, 6:15 to 6:29 on the phone.
Grab that number.
Yep, I'll get you that number. It's right on Facebook too. Okay, I'll get it to you. You ready? Everybody ready to write down? 712-712-775 7100. Let's do it again. 712-775-7100. And then it asks for a code. 124-064. Are you ready? All right. 712-775-7100. Ready? 124-064 with the pound number or the pound sign.
What are the hours?
6:15 to 6:29. Now, it's amazing. We've been doing this almost 3 years every Monday through Thursday.
Don't call on Friday.
Don't call on Friday. You will. You can call on Friday if you want. Just pray yourself.
It'll say you are the first.
you are the first and only caller on Friday morning. 6:15 to 6:29. And what we do is one person prays and everybody else agrees. But you know what? And I thank God for this. We've had up to 120 people on that prayer line. But on an average, we're about 60, 65 people on that prayer line every single Monday through Thursday. And I want to challenge you. You need to be on that prayer line. Why? Because David said it the best. Early in the morning will I direct my prayer. Unto thee will I look up. When we start our day with prayer, what is prayer? Prayer is communication. Prayer is sharing relationship. Prayer is in agreement. We'll get into all that a little bit later. But it's allowing our communication to heaven to open. Unto thee will I look up. The Bible says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's found in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. We also know according to Colossians chapter 3 that we are looking up and not down. We also know that the Bible says our redemption draws nigh. Look up, for our redemption draws nigh. The Bible also says in the book of Psalms, some trust in horses, but I will trust in the name of the Lord my God. When we start our day with prayer, we're saying, Heaven, Father God, I need you to open it up, and I need heaven to come to earth today. It is the start of your day. That is so imperative, because when we open with prayer, our hearts are then open and supple before the Lord. But again, most people don't know how to pray. So what we do is, listen, I remember when I started praying, I prayed everything I knew in less than 3.5 minutes. It's true, isn't it? I pray everything. Lord, touch my father, my mother, my sisters. Lord, thank you for this beautiful day. Yep, raining. God, you pray everything you know in 1.5 minutes. You're done. Safe. But we're going to teach you how to pray. Is that all right? We're going to teach you how that relationship with the Lord where it's not just praying once, but you're literally praying all day long. You're in relationship with him. You're talking with him. It's not just you talking with him, but he's going to start talking with you. Because it's a relationship. Isn't it horrible if you only have a one-way relationship? Hi, how are you? Are you having a good day? Hello? That's how most people pray, though. They never expect God to speak back to them. And God will talk to you. No, that's not. You ever heard somebody say, I hear the Lord. They are screwed up, aren't they? No, but it's true. God will talk to you. It's a relationship. This is truly how the Lord wants you to know him. Remember our verse at his tabernacle, our verse for his tabernacle, John 17:3. And this is eternal life, that you may know the Father and the Son whom he has sent. What do you mean know? The word know there is an intimate word that says you actually know the individual as a person. God wants you to know him. What Adam and Eve lost, he wants to restore in your life. And that comes through prayer. But it has to be prayer that comes from your heart. So whether it's a one-word prayer or a 14-hour and 37-second prayer, it doesn't matter to God. As long as it comes from your heart, and your heart is pure. All right, let's start there. You cannot expect the blessings and God's ear if you're telling him, oh, I got to be careful how I say this. I'll tell you what I was going to say. No, because I can't do that either. God, I'm coming to you today because I need you to answer my prayer. And God is saying, excuse me?
Right.
Hello? Hello? Did he say something? What do you mean by that, Pastor? I thought God's ear was always open to us. Sin is what separates us from the Lord. God doesn't hear us when there's sin in our lives. That's why it's important to clean your heart.
Amen.
I'm not overwhelmingly excited that you've understood this. You've got to clean your heart.
Amen.
Well, I can just talk to God anytime. Listen, I don't think you realize this. God is not obligated to listen to a sinner. A lot of people think, well, everybody prays and God hears them. That's not true. God only listens to his kids. He's only obligated to hear the prayer of a son or a daughter who doesn't have sin in their life.
Amen.
Selah.
But don't we all have sin in our lives?
No. No, we don't.
We're all not sinners?
No, no, no. That's another fable. Well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Glory to God. Really? Well, you're a sinner. That means you have an issue. You see, the Bible says that before you knew Christ, you had the nature, and we can look it up. Let's do that. Ephesians chapter 2 real quick so I can prove it to you, not just say it to you. Ephesians chapter 2 says this: you were made alive who were dead in your trespasses and sin, verse 1. Verse 2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, that's Lucifer, and the spirit of the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. So, among them, we also once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature, everybody shout nature.
Nature.
Nature, children of wrath. Just as the others. Watch this. Before you knew Christ, your nature, your character was sinning. You were absolutely a sinner. People are so funny. They come up to me and they went, you wouldn't believe what someone said to me. I said, did they know the Lord? Well, no. I said, duh. Sinners do what sinners do. They're the sons of disobedience. They're going to live any way they want. They're going to do whatever their father tells them to do. Who's the father? The father is the father of lies. So a sinner lies, a sinner cheats, a sinner deceives, a sinner sins, a sinner lusts, a sinner, we can go through the whole list of what the normal nature of a sinner is. It's the nature. Why are you shocked? It's the nature of the beast. But the moment you're saved, everything changes. Let's turn to Peter. It's the last book of the Old Testament. Good, that's encouraging that someone said no. Thank you. Second Peter. Now you see, when I go mute like that, a lot of times it's like, oh man, which one, where is that one? There it is. Oh, that's 2 Peter chapter 1. Here we go. Verse 4. By which we've been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So the moment you're saved, you change natures. The Bible says you go from darkness to light, death to life. Everything changes. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So you're no longer a sinner. If you are a sinner, now listen, Christians sin, but it shouldn't be your nature.
Amen.
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 Christian sin. You You know, thank God for Jesus. Amen. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we sin, we can confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God we have an advocate. His name is Jesus. He stands between us and the Father. Thank God for the blood of Christ that washes away every single sin and every single stain. But we shouldn't have to be doing that every day.
Yes. Amen.
Because it's not our nature to sin. We have the Holy Spirit. The moment you get saved, you become the temple of the Holy Ghost. What? Whoa, I just feel the anointing. That when you become the temple of the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit of God dwells in you, before you sin, He convicts you. Don't do that.
Amen.
And then we have a choice. Override the Holy Spirit or yield to the Holy Spirit. Tell the Holy Spirit to take a jump. Or say, okay, I refuse to fulfill the lust of my flesh and I'll obey. Everybody says to me, well, I just want to be happy. God didn't call you to be happy. God called you to be obedient. When you're obedient, you'll be happy. Yeah, you should write that one down because that one right there is tweetable. We live in a bad religious world. I just think we all need to be happy. Happy, happy, happy. Listen, Jesus didn't call you to be happy. He called you to be obedient. When you're obedient, you'll be happy. Amen. It's a byproduct. But you can be happy and not obedient.
Amen.
And you might get a tinge of happiness, but baby, someday you're waking up. Be obedient. Can I hear one more amen?
Amen.
Why did you take me on this rabbit trail? This is not good. Here we go. Different types of prayer. Let's talk about positions in prayer. Kneeling is a position in prayer. Now, how many of you kneel when you pray? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Sometimes. I'm a walker, actually. I very rarely kneel when I pray. Not that I'm disrespectful, but see, this is what we're getting back to. This is a matter of the heart. Because I've seen people kneeling and their hearts aren't kneeling.
Or you kneel when you feel like, or you're in a broken state.
Sure. Well, I have a better one. I've been to a lot of prayer meetings. My favorite was in Bible college, the pastor of the whole Bible college, we were all praying, big prayer meeting. He was kneeling up at his chair on the altar. And all of a sudden we heard, he was asleep in the arms of Jesus. Hallelujah. So your physical posture, if you kneel, there's nothing wrong with kneeling. I think kneeling's awesome. But if you're kneeling on the outside but not on the inside, it means nothing. Because God looks at the? God looks at the? Psalms 95 verse 6, oh come let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Ephesians chapter 3, 14 through 17, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened in his might through the Holy Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you may be rooted and grounded in love. Another posture of prayer is laying prostrate. Prostrate. I can never get that one right. I'm serious. I seriously have problems with that. I mean, I think it through and everything. You're already trying to think that one through. It still didn't work. Yeah, we don't want to lay, yeah. And not everybody has one, so I mean, prayer would be discontinued for some. Laying flat on the ground.
There you go. On your stomach or on your back?
On your stomach or on your back? Actually, usually it's on your stomach. You're laying flat out before the Lord. And that is a posture of straight humility. That God, I bow myself before you completely. I lay straight out before you, God, work in my life. And you know, that's one that's found in Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup be passed from me. Nevertheless, not I, my will, but your will. So the position of the body really isn't the issue. It really isn't. Like I said, I'm a walker. I walk when I pray. Usually when I really hear the voice of God, I'll walk and I'll walk and I'll walk. Usually in the morning, I put on about a mile and a half in my man cave. Just praying. When I'm done, man, it's time for breakfast. Glory to God. But some people can't walk and pray. They kneel and pray. Some people can't kneel and pray, but they'll lay on the ground and pray. Some people lay in bed and pray. I can't lay in bed and pray. I fall asleep, man. I used to pray at midnight when in Bible college, and that was before I walked. I learned to walk and pray in Bible school because, I mean, we were so busy that I would pray at night. I'd pray at midnight. So I'd go up into the third story hallway. There's, you know, just a little nook in there, and I'd kneel down, and I'd usually sit down, and I'd start to pray and have a great conversation with God, and I'd wake up 2 hours later. And I'd say, man, I fell asleep again. It was almost every night, falling asleep. And I remember going to one of my teachers, really upset. And I said, I fall asleep. He goes, no better place to fall asleep, son, than in the arms of God. I accepted that. I remember another one where, you know, I was really upset because we had a missionary come in. And the missionary said, if you don't cry and weep before God, then your heart is not supple in front and before him. Your heart's not soft. Oh my goodness, man. I'm not a crier. I mean, for 2 weeks, I'm trying everything. Trying everything to try to cry. Oh God, let me cry. So I went up to my teacher. I says, I can't cry. And he says, what are you talking about? I said, well, the missionary said if we don't cry when we pray, that we're not soft before God. He goes, that's stupid. He said, God deals with everybody differently. He said, some people cry, some people laugh, some people get quiet, some people walk, some people kneel, some people fall. You know, it doesn't matter the position of your body. What matters is your heart. Do you really mean your prayer? You know, the people that take the Lord's name in vain more than anybody else. Christians on a Sunday morning. Remember the Bible says don't take the Lord's name in vain? What's the word vain mean? It means without any meaning. So Sunday morning comes and you get to church, you argue all the way. But you walk in the front door. Hi, how are you? What a great day. The Lord is so good to me. You walk into the altar and somebody here is talking to you and somebody there is complaining to you. You stubbed your toe on the way in. Somebody went to the toilet before you got in there and laid something out that was so bad. You walked in on that bed. You still have to pee because you couldn't do it in there. It won't let you in the children's wing. It's time to pray and, you know, you're starting to sing. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your... You guys don't even know that song. That's old. I mean, whatever. That's old, isn't it? Yeah. That's an old Maranatha song. And you're starting to sing and... You're thinking about the roast. You're thinking about swimming. You're thinking about what you got to do afterwards. We're so-and-so. And in the song, you're saying the name God 3 or 4 times. In vain. Sunday morning is the greatest place to take the Lord's name in vain. Because we'll sing a whole worship song without meaning it. There's no meaning in our heart. We pray, oh God, thank you, Jesus, for this day. You know, I just thank you that we're having a good time. Okay. That's in vain. If you don't mean it from your heart, it's in vain. It means you're cussing. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. You know, it just comes down to really, what is our hearts? I mean, do we really, when we talk to the Lord, mean what we're talking about? Or are we just in some religious garb and religious mode and say the things that we think might twist God's arm to do what we need him to do for us? It's all about our hearts. And sometimes our hearts are kind of scary, aren't they? Some people don't want to deal with their own heart because their heart's ugly. They still want God to hear them, though. God hears you when your heart's clean. So you always start off your time of prayer with, Jesus, if there's anything in my life, Holy Spirit, if there's anything in my life that would hold back this prayer. You know, husbands, it kind of really sucks because the Bible says if you're at odds with your wife, God doesn't even hear your prayers. That's tough. Dude, it's rough, man. It's really rough. Man, we got to have a right heart towards our wives or else our prayers are hindered. The Bible says our prayers are hindered. I hate that. I hate that verse. I hate that verse. It's not that you got to like every verse. I hate that verse. But it's true. I don't know about you. I want, when I talk to God, I'm looking for him to hear me, and I'm looking for an answer. I'm looking for him to answer me, manifest his power to me, manifest, bring out of heaven and bring it to earth. I'm looking for that to occur. So if there's anything in here, what do we got to do? Get it out. I don't want the hindrance. I don't want the ceiling. Always ask Jesus to clean your heart. Lord, if there's anything in my heart that is wrong, please, Holy Spirit, convict me. Because I want my heart right, because I want my prayers heard. I'm not just interested in saying words into the air. I want heaven to open, and I want heaven to answer.
Psalm 19. 14, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart
be acceptable in thy sight.
My rock and my redeemer.
Yes.
That's written on Johnny Cash's tombstone.
Well, I should go sing down there. They don't let me sing here, so maybe I should sing down at Johnny Cash's grave. To my heart. Come on now, it's all about your heart. And you know, when we communicate to God, this is where we start talking to him real. You know. Come here. Stand right here. No, I won't. Here we go. Ready? So you're going to be the father. Okay? You're my dad. So I need the keys to the car to take my girlfriend out on a date. Okay? Oh, Father! I beseech you today. Oh, my heart is clean and cleansed, oh Father. Man, you gotta slap your kid, aren't you?
Yep.
What's wrong with you? What's up with you? You're just messed up. Now listen, this is the problem with the church, because we've made prayer something that it really is not. We've made it good and religious, but we've not touched the heart of God. And if we're doing anything besides touching the heart of God, then honestly, we're wasting our time. Yeah. You know, we can't make God do something by praying better.
Amen.
Hey, Dad, you know, I need the car. You know, I'll put gas in it and take care of things right. I'll make sure that I'm responsible. Can I borrow the car?
Said though,
no, it's good.
Remember, I asked you, how do you pray without begging?
How do you pray without begging? Yep. Well, that was a very good point. And you know, I talked to this young man about this. Some of you have never had dads, and so when you start to pray, you get into the beg mode. Mm-hmm. You don't have to beg God. You don't have to manipulate God. You don't have to come with a four-point series of proving your court-appointed situation to make God move. You have to have a heart. God loves to just to hear you talk to him. And prayer is that way. Man, how are you today?
Good.
I'm proud to see you here tonight, man. I really am so proud of you. You got baptized on Sunday?
Yes, I did.
Ready? Now watch. Oh, thou young man, I'm so happy, and then my heart just bursts within me. I am just so moved that thou art here in thy seat. Hey, I've never seen thee before in thy building, in this class. Let's be honest, though. That's what Christianity has done to prayer. And we've made it something that it really is not at all. And so we've made reaching God something that most people can't touch until they know all the right words. And that's not how God works. God works from your heart. Man, I'm glad you're here. And I'm proud, honestly, I'm very proud of you for being here.
I'm glad he's here too.
When I talk to God, Lord, thank you for today. If you notice on my Facebook, usually in the morning, you'll see a picture of the sunrise. I come out my back door, I go around my porch, go down my driveway. I live right in the middle of town, take a picture. And I just sit back and go, that is stinking awesome. Thanks, Dad. Thank you. Because I know every morning that sun's going to rise. Great is your faithfulness, God.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
And because I know him, I can talk to him. And, you know, this is where every one of us got to put down our religious shields, and we just got to start talking to God. You talk to him when you're mad. You talk to him when you're happy. You talk to him when you're depressed. You talk to him when you're confused. He's a great counselor. For goodness sakes, he's the one you talk to when you're confused. Stop talking to other people. One of the worst things you can ever do before you talk to God is talk to somebody else. Go to the counselor first. Open the word. He'll talk to you, man. You know, when you get up in the morning, I don't know, has anybody ever read the book Good Morning, Holy Spirit by Benny Hinn? Here's your homework. Homework? I want you all to buy the book Good Morning, Holy Spirit. Now, you can borrow it from the library. I believe the Strong Group has them, Strong Library. You can also get it from Amazon.com or iBooks. It's a really easy book, Good Morning, Holy Spirit by Benny Hinn. Good Morning, Holy Spirit by Benny Hinn. Here's the premise of the book. Every morning when you get up, he teaches you this simple stuff. And that is, the very first words out of your mouth is, Good morning, Holy Spirit. You're starting up, opening your level of communication, your relationship with God, first of all. First person you should ever talk to in the morning is Jesus. He's the very first one. What's that, babe? Benny Hinn, B-E-N-N-Y-H-I-N-N, Benny Hinn. I would really encourage every one of you to buy that book. It's going to change your whole prayer life. It's going to change your entire prayer life. So communication is two-way, not just one-way.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, you can.
Do you pray to the Holy Spirit or do you pray to Jesus?
Remember, they're the trichotomy. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're three yet. Three yet. So when you pray to one, you're praying to all. Now let's break down. Our relationship is with God himself.
Yep.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's not three of them, there's one of them.
Yep.
But yet God the Father worked with mankind from the beginning of creation until Jesus came. When Jesus came, Jesus, who is God, gave up all of his heavenly glory, and on earth for those 3 years, Christ worked with. When Christ ascended, the Bible says in John 14 that God sent the Holy Spirit. So now God the Holy Spirit is the one who actually works with us and in us and brings the words from the Father to us here on this planet. So a lot of times I'll have a phenomenal communication with the Holy Spirit. On Sunday mornings when I work with the Word of Knowledge, when I work with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, who's the giver of the gifts? The Holy Spirit. So who am I talking to? I'm asking the Holy Spirit. How do you want to move in a person's life today? Who do you want to heal today? What do you want to show me today that will help somebody? If you're in business, you should be having great conversation with the Holy Spirit. We call it inside trading. There's nobody who knows more about what your day is going to be and what's going to happen next year than the Holy Spirit. Man, talk to the Holy Ghost. He'll bring the message from the Father. I have a great relationship with the Holy Spirit. And when you get to know him and you know his voice, again, he is God. So as you know him, you know God. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are from the Lord. So everything that Jesus even spoke on the earth was from the Father. And the Holy Spirit only brings to remembrance all those things which Jesus has taught. So they all speak the same. I'm sorry. I had a real quiet, you know, nuts and flakes come to light. Y'all know that, right? Bugs go to light. So we were having a great move of God in our last church, and we had a guy come in, and he was very quiet for a while. He was a nice, you know, his name was Chris, nice dude. And I got a call from his pastor from the prior church, and he said, "This guy's crazy, so be careful." I said, "I don't know." I said, "I don't see anything different." I said, "He seems really nice to me." And so we had testimony nights on Sunday, and he stood up and he goes, "I have a testimony." Pastor says, "Great, dude. What is it, Chris?" He says, "Well, I was in the Spirit in the afternoon. Me and the Holy Ghost were having a great talk. Hallelujah." He said, "Then the voice of mighty thunder came into the room, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit and I got quiet. And then the Father interrupted Jesus." And I said, "Yep, he's a quack." Bugs go to light. It's a principle. Hi, baby girl. Bampy loves you.
You lost down.
Listen, prayer, when you start getting frustrated, it stops being prayer. When you start getting overwhelmed, it stops being prayer. When you start begging, it stops being prayer. It's all a matter of the heart. Yes.
One thing that when I'm alone and I'm in prayer, I like you, I walk and I speak out loud.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that hinders me is I've been told, or that we hear, not to speak negatively because you don't want the enemy to hear, you know, "I'm sick. I feel sick today." You don't want the enemy to hear that.
Let me handle. I got it. Here we go. She's saying, when I pray, I don't want to speak negatively when I pray. Well, if you are and you have a situation in your life that is negative, it's all right to bring your problem to the Lord. Just back it up with the Scripture.
Yeah.
Because what problems do you have? Well, really none. Have faith in God.
Amen.
You really don't have any troubles. Have faith in God. If you can say unto this mountain, "Be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt, you shall have what you ask," then really what problems do you have?
Amen.
You don't have problems. You have faith in God. God moves mighty mountains. God, there's nothing impossible with him. So everything shifts in your prayer life when you back it up with the Scripture. Because you got to say about, you know, you got issues, man. We all got issues. Anybody got an issue? Anybody got more than one? Is somebody sitting next to you your issue? Don't raise your hand. We all have issues. We got to talk about them. And that's what the Lord wants. He wants you to share your situations. "Father, I'm having a crappy day. God, you saw what happened to me. You saw what my boss did to me. You saw what happened. And Lord, I am stinking ticked right off." That's as much prayer as, "Oh Lord, I love you so much." Because it's your heart. Yeah, God wants you to talk to him. Don't be a freak. Don't think you got to be weird. God's not spooky. Share your heart with him. If you're happy, tell him you're happy. If you're mad, tell him you're mad. If you're whatever. "God, I'm so sad. My heart is broken." Isn't it great that Jesus heals the brokenhearted?
That's right. So that's what you're saying is the end of your talk or prayer to God needs to be something scripturally so that Satan can attack you or go after you.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. Sometimes, I'll just give you a hint, because we're not going to really get into this much tonight, much more, is if I have to pray something that I don't want the devil to know, I pray in my heart. I pray it in my head. Oh, by the way, God hears what you think. He knows your thoughts before you think them. And the devil can't read your mind. Remember, the devil is not omniscient. He is not all-knowing. So the devil only knows what you tell him. So there are times that I'm in a situation that I don't want to give the enemy a heads up. And I'll just pray it quietly in my spirit. Or I'll pray in tongues. He does hate that because he doesn't understand it at all. You know, you pray in the Holy Ghost, you pray in the Spirit till you feel it lift.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, we always encourage you to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, speak with other tongues. It's not that, boy, you know, you got to be part of the club. It's not the club, man. This we're going to get into that. That's a whole level of prayer for your life. Okay. You need to be honest. Honesty is such a lonely word. You do understand that you can't lie to God.
Amen.
A lot of people don't know that. Well, you know, God, I'm going through a situation. I'm right in this. Schwack. No, that's bringing before him. So, like, I'm in the process of, we put a bid on a house. And, you know, I've made some poor choices. Usually they're $1,000 poor choice, or, you know, I bought a dog once, that was a poor choice. And, you know, those kind of poor choices are pain in the hiney. But when you're putting a bid on a house where it's a lot of money, that's a mistake I just simply do not want to make. So when I'm going to him, I'm saying, Father, you know, I'm praying, Lord, for one thing, and that is your purposes to be accomplished. You know where I'm going to be in a decade, and if this house is going to be a noose around my neck, God, I don't want you to bring it through. And I don't do the open door, closed door thing, because open door, closed doors, the devil can open a door just as quickly as God can. These are the children of God who are led by the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. So we're governed by the peace of God that's in our heart, by the Word of God, and not by our circumstances, situations that are sitting in front of us. So because I don't know what the will of God is exactly for that house, Lord, I'm just praying in Jesus' name. Lord, if you want us to have that home, I have the faith to get that home. That's really not a problem. You know, everything's already approved. We're all ready to rock and roll. God, I just need to do what I got to do. But I don't want to make that choice unless I know it's you. That's not begging. That's being really smart. So, you need to be honest with God. You can't hide it anyways. Listen, if you're thinking it, he already knows. No, really, this is really important. Because a lot of people think they can hide things. Duh. He already knows. Well, I don't want him to know I'm mad. He already knows. I don't want him to know I'm discouraged. He already knows. Share your heart with him, man. That's prayer. He's waiting for you. No, listen to me. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you to hear your voice, to talk with you. He wants to celebrate when you're happy, and he wants to bring an answer when you're sad. Amen. He really honestly cares about every situation. So prayer is easy. Jesus, I thank you for tonight. Jesus, I thank you that I right now can sense your Holy Spirit in this room. I can sense the Lord. Jesus, I thank you that you're here right now. I know he's here, and I'm talking to him. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that your presence will be felt just like a weighty coat on every one of us. In Jesus' name, it's prayer. We don't got to be spooky. We don't got to be weird. We just got to talk to him. Stop being intimidated. Prayer is easy. All you got to do is talk to him. God, I'm coughing. Please help me stop. That's all you got to do. You're welcome. But really, this is, and I think that was perfect timing. Because we always try to get weird. Stop being weird. Just talk to him. She'll give you a cough drop. How come I didn't get one?
You want a cough?
Oh, no. So tonight, we're going to get into the toolbox next week. Is that all right?
Yeah.
But I just really want you, this whole week, I just want you to talk to him, okay? Don't be weird. You know, you're out on the tractor, how many hours a day?
Nothing.
Do you know, Brother Ted Shuttlesworth, one of my oversights, he has a guy that whenever he has a need, he asks him to pray. He's a farmer. And the guy's in a tractor up to 8 hours a day or more. And all he does in the tractor is he plays Christian music, plays Christian preaching, and prays all day long. He said, that guy knows God. I know people who know God more than preachers. Because it's not about position. It's about relationship. So get to know him. He's really awesome. Really, God is awesome. And the more you know him, man, the more you'll be like him because you are who you hang with.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. Anybody got any questions? Just think, we haven't even started. It's horrible. I feel so bad. That's why this class is only supposed to be 8 months. Yes?
The God of the Old Testament is pretty scary, though.
God of the Old Testament is so much different. And the reason, he's not the God of the Old Testament. Let me explain what it is. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But how he's dealt with men is different. So how he dealt with Adam and Eve in the garden before sin was like wide open relationship because there was no sin. When sin came into the world, there is no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. So everything changed. And so really, God only had open relationship with the priest, the prophet, and the kings. That's it. Those are the only people he talked to in the old covenant. Every once in a while, he'd speak to somebody divine. We call it divine intervention. But the majority of the time, it's only three groups of people. But that's why Jesus came. So the old covenant, we can't compare ourselves to now, not because God is different, but I want to remind everybody, the difference between the God of the Old Testament and how he works with man in the new is in the old, when you were caught in sin, you were just a fry daddy. Like an immediate fry daddy.
Fry daddy.
Fry daddy. Dead. Like literally, like prostate. I mean, like just, no, I'm just kidding. Watch, now seriously though, this is very important for you to know. In the old covenant, there was no grace. There was no grace. So if you were caught in sin, you're dead. In the New Testament, it is the period of grace. The damage between the two is in the old, immediate retribution, immediate payment for sin. In the new, the problem with the new is that because it's not immediate, everyone thinks they're getting away with it. God is holy, man. It might not be immediate, but whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If a man sows of the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. If a man sows of the Spirit, he shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. Do not be deceived. Even though you're not seeing immediate consequence for your sin, like in the old covenant, if you do not repent, repent doesn't mean I'm sorry. Remember we went through the sorry thing? Oh God, I'm so sorry.
That's worldly sorrow, right?
Yeah, that's worldly sorrow. When you just, you're sorry because you got caught, dude, that's not sorry. That's really not, that's not repentance. Repentance is I'm going this way. Hup, sorry. Dude, I'm out. I go right. Repentance is turning away from sin. So the I'm sorry thing, don't cut it. And that's where a lot of preachers just don't tell you the truth. In this house, we'll tell you the truth. If you're just in the I'm sorry mode, you're probably not going to heaven. Okay? Because I'm sorry doesn't cut it with God. You can have the nicest heart, be the nicest person in the world, but if you're continuing in sin and you know it, you're in a dangerous spot. And by the way, God don't hear you.
That's scary.
That is scary. Just look it up, man. He closes his ears to you is what the scripture says. It's not that he doesn't love you. You know, I love my children. I'll end with this. I love my children. But my son Chad was a challenge. Pastor Chad was a challenge. He really hated me, probably from the age of 14 to about 19 years old. Now, I didn't say he disliked me. I said he really hated me. It was a really tenuous relationship. I mean, is that the right word? Tenuous? Strenuous. Thank you. Very difficult. Thank you. Very difficult situation. Very hard. You know, as his dad, I love my kids. And I remember walking upstairs one day and saying to him, "Dude, I don't know what I've ever done to you, man. I only thought I've ever blessed you, encouraged you, and strengthened you. I don't know why you hate me so bad. What did I do so bad to you?" He didn't even answer me. It was really a tough season in my life. But I remember they were cleaning his room, and they found a fifth of whiskey that was two-thirds gone. And then they went and searched his car, and there was, a little thing of weed. And so I made a phone call because he's out, you know, down at the lake with my other son. And I said, "Hey, Chad, you got anything to say?" And he said, "What?" I said, "You got anything to tell me?" He says, "Always remember, your sins will find you out." Here's a key for you. God always covers your sin when you're quick to repent. Amen. He'll uncover you when you're not. And that's sheer love, because if he doesn't uncover you, you're going to continue thinking you're getting away with it. And the wages of sin is death. So I called him up and I brought him home. And I said, "You know, I love you, man." No, I didn't hit him. He was bigger than me. Really, my son Jack could beat me up. So I said, "You know, I want you to know I love you. But all your benefits are gone, man. You got no car. You got no phone. You go to your room. I won't hear nothing out of your mouth. We'll take you to work. We'll pick you up from work. You'll live." Did I love him any less? Absolutely not. But you see, because he didn't honor me, he's not going to get the benefits from me. When you're in sin, you're dishonoring God. Do you really think you're going to get the benefits of heaven? Come on, man. This is simple stuff. Because we're not talking about like saying the right key words and God has to move. We're talking about relationship. And that's what prayer is. So I challenge you, whatever you got in your life that's messed up, make it right. You know, the Bible says if you go to the altar and you know somebody is offended by you, you're supposed to leave your gift at the altar and go make it right. You're supposed to go to them and make it right. If you as a husband, your relationship with your spouse is in a bad spot, you need to make sure that your heart is right. Go make it right with your wife. And if she's not right, that's her problem. But you have to be right. Because honestly, you don't want your prayers hindered. And then just talk to him, man. Talk to him all day long. You know, somebody tweaks you off at work. "God, I'm just thinking ticked right off, man." Talk to God about it. When you're happy, "Thank you, Jesus." When you get a raise, "Whoa!" Yeah, I'm talking like this is relationship. Have a relationship with Jesus. It's so good. You're going to like church better.